This podcast is for investment professionals only. The value of investments and the income from them may go down as well as up, and investors may not get back the amounts originally invested. Past performance is not a guide to future performance. The information is not an offer, solicitation, or recommendation of any funds, services, or products, or to adopt any investment strategy.
Good day, everyone. Welcome to the U.S. Lens for this week. I'm Ron Insana, Senior Advisor to Schroders. On a day when we are seeing an absolute rip to the upside on Wall Street and, in fact, in European and Asian markets as well, not only on what appears to be clarification and maybe even finalization of the presidential results in the United States, but word also that Pfizer has developed a vaccine for the coronavirus that is 90% effective, putting it on par with a measles vaccine. Joining me now to talk about what this means for the markets from a Washington perspective, from a pharmaceutical perspective, and from a rotational perspective is Sean Markowitz. He is strategist in Schroders research and analytics team. Sean, good to have you. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Ron.
So this may well be a banner week on Wall Street, Main Street, Washington, wherever you want to look. Let's start first, before we get to the Pfizer news, what appears to be a resolution in the presidential election. Assuming there are no further disruptions, Joe Biden will be the 46th president of the United States, irrespective of any legal fights. Where do you think Washington and Wall Street are right now?
Well, the market reactions actually unfolded in two stages, I would say. Well, before the election, investors were predicting a blue wave with Democrats were expected to sweep in, take control of both the presidency and the Senate. But last week, it became clear that the Senate would be out of reach for the Democrats. So we've seen this huge rotation away from cyclical industries and towards growth sectors. Treasury yields are coming down. Investors rein in expectations of higher government spending. But equities overall are up. As over the weekend, Biden, as you just mentioned, has been declared the official winner, which has put to rest much of that election uncertainty that's plagued markets over recent months. And I think that's really the crucial reason why equities are overall up.
All right. Now, before we get to the vaccine announcement, which came obviously early this week as well, let me ask you about that particular perspective, because it's not certain yet that we're going to have split government. There's going to be a runoff in Georgia, too, in fact, which will determine the balance of power in the Senate. And if both Democrats win, it's a 50-50 split with Vice President-elect Kamala Harris making the deciding vote in close calls. So let me ask you this, because the Democrats then have the ability to use the budget reconciliation process to pass almost anything they want, assuming that it's deficit neutral. So we're not quite out of the woods yet from a split government perspective, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think that's a good point to mention. Investors are basically treating this outcome as, you know, all the uncertainty is pretty much disappeared. But actually, there is some potential for a control of Congress by the Democrats. And we'll only know in January what that outcome would be. But I think depending on that outcome, it's going to have different implications for both U.S. equities as well as international equities.
All right. So you and I are chatting on a Monday morning in which Dow futures are up 1,500 points. Some would argue that 400 points of that is the election and 1,100 points or so is the result of news that we get early this week that Pfizer has developed a vaccine that is 90% effective, which means, although it's a two-dose vaccine, and a brand new technology for that matter, but it means that it would be as effective if it holds as a measles vaccine, giving effectively permanent immunity to the coronavirus. How important is that, not just to the market, but to the notion that recovery stocks and the rotation that we've talked about at Schroders for quite some time could be a very big deal in the weeks and months ahead?
I see it as a huge catalyst. The prospect of a vaccine has, as you point out, fired up the equity market today on top of the positive news with the election. But I think the main implication of the vaccine is that it should, in theory, be benefiting many of those unloved cyclical industries that have been underpricing and untracing the tech names that have been outperforming this year. And the sooner we get a vaccine distributed, I think the greater the chance of this rotation from many of these beaten up cyclical industries that have suffered under a global lockdown. Because at the end of the day, a vaccine means a return to some semblance of normality.
and an environment in which investors are not willing to pay a huge premium for many of the growth stocks that have been driving this market rally so far.
Yeah, let me follow up on that, because, and again, we're talking at a point in time when the news is just breaking, and this is going to be, you know, this conversation will be heard for several days to come. But that rotation is in full swing even before the market opens on this Monday morning, the 9th of November. We're seeing big cap technology stocks sell off. We're seeing leisure and hospitality, whether it's cruise ships, whether it's any return to normality play, just ripped to the upside. And then we're also seeing interest rates go up. We're seeing gold come down. We're seeing oil rally sharply. Can this trade hold if indeed the vaccine is as effective as they say? But also there's going to be some timing questions around the distribution of it, because there's only enough right now for 25 million people.
Markets have a tendency to overreact to some of these big headlines of course, are moving markets today. But, you know, when we look towards the long-term trajectory of the global economy and markets as a whole, I think it may be a bit short-sighted to place too much emphasis on this. As you know, there's a second wave of coronavirus infections taking place as we speak. And even if a vaccine is rolled out, there are many logistical hurdles that still need to be overcome in order for it to be effectively distributed. I think at the end of the day, what really matters is the extent to which economic restrictions are relaxed, as well as how well a vaccine can be distributed, and also the strength of the economy in that perspective. You know, interest rates are still likely to remain significantly lower for the foreseeable future, even if a vaccine gets rolled out, suggesting that the trajectory for economic growth, not just at the U.S. level, but also globally, remains somewhat low.
On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, you're listening to the Investor Download.
So let me flip back for a moment to politics, because against this backdrop now, there would be some argument that stimulus might not be as necessary for the U.S. if indeed there's a vaccine on the horizon. But there, as you say, you know, there's time from here to there. So how important is it that even in the lame duck session, we see yet another bridge, particularly for those who are most hurt among us, to survive this period until everyone, and that could take some time, everyone can get a vaccine?
Well, I guess it comes down to whether we're talking about some extra stimulus for the economy versus the market. The market's pretty satisfied with what the Fed's been doing. So I think as far as equities are concerned, the trajectory for here is pretty much upward, as a lot of that election uncertainty has been put to bay. Interest rates remain favorable, but you know, the stock market isn't the economy, and the economy is going to be struggling without a huge stimulus from the government. So I think overall the growth could actually lag behind expectations if we don't have a deal agreed by both Republicans and Democrats in January. But again, I think it's going to hinge on whether the Democrats get control of the Senate. Are there going to be any Republicans that decide to support some of the higher spending initiatives of the Democrats? That's something that remains an uncertain known.
Now, we at Schroders have for many, many months talked about the big rotation coming out of growth stocks into value stocks, coming out of big period and going into small, coming out of U.S. and going international. A lot of that play may well be accelerated by the news we're talking about today and the fact that the dollar is falling pretty noticeably. So is this in many ways, is this still the operating thesis that we have?
Well, for many months, the prevailing view is that the Democratic president would usher in very big antitrust regulations that would break up some of these big technology names. But Biden's actually been quite quiet on this issue, and for the right reason. It's not really been at the forefront of his policy agenda. He's been focused more on the economic recovery, and a lot of these companies have been huge contributors to his campaign. We've also been very reliant on their services to stay connected and work from home. So from a top-down perspective, I think the environment for investing in growth over value still remains favorable as economic growth is, you know, still meager. Investors are willing to pay a premium for that higher growth that those big tech stocks are delivering. But again, if we do have a vaccine, that could actually be the catalyst for a huge rotation, because there's no need to pay a huge premium for growth names if you can get something, you know, for a bargain when you have a cyclical recovery being priced in. And the sooner that vaccine, you know, becomes an actual possibility, I think the greater the chance of that rotation. At the same time, I think what's also interesting is that there's a pretty big difference between investing in value at the U.S. level versus internationally. If you do have a vaccine, obviously it's going to benefit the cyclical names like so banks and car manufacturers. But the U.S. market is quite concentrated in a lot of these defensive, growthy areas of the market. 35% of the market is only in cyclicals. That compares with around 50% globally. So I think the opportunity for taking advantage of this huge cyclical upswing is probably in the international arena.
And a weaker dollar would just be the kicker.
The weaker dollar would certainly help. You know, when we see the phases where the dollar tends to weaken, it tends to be, in my view, a symptom rather than a cause for a lot of the rotational bets that we see between international and U.S. equities. Now, where I think the dollar could move the most is where we see a change in foreign policy under Biden. That's something I think that the investors are starting to price in today. We've seen a huge rise in European Asian equity markets, vastly outperforming the U.S. equity futures. Investors are pretty much pricing in a more predictable and stable environment for foreign policy. Emerging market currencies are also rallying on that prospect. And the basic premise is that Biden is expected to restore relations with European and Asian allies, all of which should be a net positive for many of those markets that have been severely battered by trade disputes over the last 4 years.
All right. On that note, we thank you, Sean. Appreciate your insights this morning. Thanks for joining us. Speaking to Sean Markowitz, who is strategist in Schroeder's research and analytics team. That is it for this week's edition of the U.S. Lens. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your week. And at least for the moment, enjoy the rally on Wall Street as well. I'm Ron Insana. We'll talk to you again soon.
That was the show. We very much hope you enjoyed it. If you want to read more about any of the subjects we've spoken about in these shows, go to schroeders.com/insights. You can listen to a whole back catalogue at schroeders.com/the investor download. If you want to get in touch with us, it's schroederspodcast@schroeders.com. Feel free to pose any questions. And if you want to rate, review and subscribe to us, you can do that via Apple Podcasts, Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, with new shows available on a Monday and Thursday from 5 p.m. UK time. But most importantly, keep safe and go well. Cheers.